Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Giving a round of applause to the entire production team. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. What you've seen is a fictitious story, of course. But it speaks of something that happened some 2,000 years ago. It speaks of something that's so familiar to us, maybe sometimes too familiar that it loses its sense of its impact in our hearts. So what was the situation in the play? It was long-standing enmity. Long-standing enmity between the two warring tribes. There's a river between the two tribes. I don't know whether you are able to see this river over here. Maybe some of us can't see it. There's a river over here dividing the two tribes, you know. But crossing the river wasn't too difficult. We saw them cross the river several times. But what's far more difficult was bridging the wide chasm, bridging the huge divide between the two tribes. That was unbridgeable. And there was something else. It's just been made worse. There's now a huge debt to be paid. We saw how several of Chief Baraka's warriors made a raid on the rival tribe. And during that raid, they did the unimaginable. They killed the rival tribe's son, beloved son. And there's now a huge score to be settled. Following that, those responsible for the killing were lured into a trap. They were captured, they were held as hostages. They were unable to free themselves, no matter how they tried. No way at all. And they were facing certain death. Friends, may I suggest to you that this is exactly man's situation in relation to God. And this passage of Scripture bears that out. It's Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. Let me read this out to you. When we were still helpless in our sinfulness, Christ came and died for us sinners. Most people would not be willing to die, even for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But great love was shown to us when Christ died for us when we were still sinners. We have been made right in God's sight, by the blood of Christ. Since the friendship of God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Now, just as there's enmity between the two tribes, the Bible says that there is enmity as well between man and God. And why is that so? And that's got to do with what the Bible calls sin. I'm going to digress a little bit from the story. I'll come back to it later to explain what this is about. You see, the Bible tells us that we are actually created to have a wonderful relationship with God, a blessed communion with God. God, that's God's original design for us. We were meant to have this beautiful oneness with God. But that became broken. Broken by what the Bible calls sin. What is sin? Sin is everything that falls short of the absolute and perfect goodness of God. Everything that misses the mark of God's absolute perfection, that's sin. And includes things that we encounter so often, every so often in life. It includes our human tendency towards selfishness, towards greed, towards self-exaltation and self-promotion, needing to make ourselves look good in front of other people, putting ourselves on a pedestal. And it's human pride and hubris. Who has this sin? Who has this sin? We may see this in people young and old, even in cute, tiny little kids. And parents know this all too well. Parents know all too well you don't need to teach your tiny little kids to be selfish with their toys. All you need is just for some other kid to come near their toys and immediately you will see a reaction. But they're well capable of being selfish with their toys themselves, right? You don't need to teach them that. Instead, what you need is to teach them to share. And that itself is not something not easy to do. And you don't need to teach them to tell lies to get out of trouble. Most of us as parents will remember the first time our kids told a lie. That's to get out of trouble. You don't even need to teach that. Somehow they're able to learn this on their own. What you need to teach them instead is not to tell the lie, to tell truth, even when it's against their interests. And when they're angry, our kids are angry, tiny little kids angry, you don't have to teach them to hit their siblings, you don't have to teach them to bite somebody. Somehow they learn how to do that. And what we need instead is to teach them how to love their siblings, love other people, and to keep on teaching that. That's like right from young age. We all gravitate towards wrongdoing. If you don't believe this, ask your parents. Not just young and old. We see this not just in young and old, we see this in behavior in all cultures, not just here in Singapore. We see this in different people groups, different nationalities, different races. You don't find a particular tribe or people that's exempt from this at all. No. And we see this as a present day, right? Present day reality. We also see this as human nature from time immemorial. They come across in our words, our actions, in our innermost thoughts, our most hidden motives as well. Now, if you picture this with me, that all of us walk with a screen on top of our heads, just behind us. And not just the words that we say, but our innermost thoughts and our innermost motives are all stated up there, and everybody can read it. Wow, imagine that happening. We'll be so embarrassed, right? I learned a new word recently. Some of you may know this word, some of you may not. And this word is delulu. I think it means something like being delusional. Am I right? Young people can help me out here. Yeah, okay, good. Well, the Bible says this, that people who think we have no sin are quite delulu. Well, okay, the Bible may not exactly use this word, but you get the idea. We all see the ugliness of sin, of greed, unkindness, ingratitude, selfishness in other people. And sometimes we think we are exempt. We think nobody sees that in us as well. Well, if you think nobody sees that in you as well, maybe that's a bit like delulu. We all have sin. I think you agree with me so far. That sin is all pervasive in our words and actions, definitely in our thoughts, our intentions as well. Sin is just universal. Now, I mentioned earlier that God created us to enjoy perfect friendship with Him. How does sin on our part affect our relationship with God? I wonder if anybody watches Korean drama. Some of you do? Korean drama. Okay, I see some heads nodding. Korean drama. Anybody watch this one? Anyone knows what this is? Flower of Evil. Yeah, Flower of Evil. Released in around 2020, I think, during COVID time. Well, I've never watched it, but this is how the story roughly goes. The wife had a very good and loving relationship with her husband. But her wife was a detective, a police detective, trying to solve crimes. She was working on some crimes. But as time went on, she found there was a problem. And what was this problem? The evidence was increasingly pointing to one person committing those crimes. And that person was no other than her husband, with whom she had a loving relationship. I won't tell you the outcome and give everything away. But imagine with me what that would do to their relationship. How possible is it for the wife to be true to her calling as a detective, bring criminals to justice, and if the husband continues and persists in crime, how possible is it for them to have a loving relationship? Most of us will think, wow, that'll be a huge challenge. You can imagine that, right? It's a bit like how light and darkness don't come together. They're in opposition with each other. And so there just can't be any oneness between someone who is a detective, a police officer, and someone who is a thief, someone who is a persistent thief. In the same way, my friends, in the same way, we are tainted with sin. God is sinless and holy. And because of that, the oneness between us and God is inevitably broken. Inevitably broken and replaced by something else. Replaced by enmity and replaced by opposition. There's now a wide chasm, a deep divide between man and God, wider than this river. And this is exactly the situation in a play, isn't it? The two warring tribes are separated in enmity, irreconcilable. There's an unbridgeable gulf. And that's what it's like in our relationship with God. Enmity between God and man. That's what the passage we read just now was talking about when it says that we are enemies with God. All because of sin. In the play, there was a debt to be paid. After the opposing chief's son was killed by the warriors of Chief Baraka, similarly, our sin cries out for a remedy. Cries out for something to be done. Cries out for a price to be paid. And in the play, the hostages couldn't save themselves. They were bound for certain death, helpless. Similarly, the Bible states how, when something must be done, we are helpless, unable to do that for ourselves, unable to save ourselves because of our sin. So we see the problem in the play. And the problem in our condition with God as well, our relationship with God as well. But what is it that brought about a resolution in the play? What happened such that there was a resolution? What was needed to secure the release of the hostages, pay the debt following the killing of the enemy chief's son, and bring lasting peace, bridge this gulf between the two tribes? What was needed was for someone to take the place of the hostages and to bring an end to the enmity. Now, who could do this? It couldn't just be anybody, right? Like, for example, one of the individuals who were involved in the killing, could they have been the sacrifice for the others? No, they couldn't. They were all involved in this. They'll be treated as those who are responsible for this. Can't be regarded as someone who can take the place of the others. It had to be someone without guilt, who is able to stand in the place of the others who were guilty. And since it was the only son of the rival chief who was killed, it had to be someone of equal standing as well, someone important to Chief Baraka as well. Anything short of that wouldn't do. And that person had to be willing to offer himself, herself, sacrificially, voluntarily, willingly. And only that will move the heart of the rival chief so as to bring peace, lasting peace to both sides. Who could do this? And we saw in the story how there was only one person who was able to. We saw how Armani, Chief Baraka's only son, stepped up, offered himself. Did so even though he didn't himself contribute to the enmity between the two tribes. Even the enemy, the rival chief, saw that and could recognize that. He didn't himself contribute to this. And he did this even though he had the privileged position of being Chief Baraka's only son, beloved of the chief. Friends, why did he do this? He did this showing sacrificial love. A sacrificial love that made all the difference, enabled the hostages to be freed, and perhaps with that, the hostility between the two tribes can now come to an end. And this white chasm can be bridged. Peace can come about. What love is this? Friends, this little story speaks so much of what happened between God and man. So much of what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. Let's return to this Bible passage. It tells us what was done for us when we could not save ourselves. when we, you and I, trapped in sin, were helpless and without hope. And this is what the passage says. Christ came and died for us sinners. Great love was shown to us when Christ died for us when we were still sinners. And through what he did, we are made friends with God again. The communion that we were born to have, we were created to have. The oneness with God that we are created to have now, we are brought back to that once again. And we see how Armani, Chief Baraka's son, portrays what Jesus did. Just as he didn't contribute himself to the bloodshed and the enmity, Jesus too, 2,000 years ago, died for us as a sinless individual. If he was sinful, he wouldn't be able to die for us. Like the hostages, he would have to pay the debt for his very own sin. But because Jesus was completely guiltless, so the death on the cross counted as a fitting sacrifice for those of us who are sinful. And just as Armani wasn't forced, wasn't in any way pressurized into offering himself, he did so willingly. The Bible tells us that Jesus offered himself out of love. Out of love for you and I. The one, the only one who didn't have to die. The only one chose himself to do so. He gave us sacrificial love. A couple of weeks ago, someone asked me, reached out to me and asked me how that person could pray for me as I was delivering this, as I was to deliver this message today. And I asked that person to pray for me that I will speak about these things with a sense of wonder. W-O-N-D-R. A new sense of wonder, a new sense of awe. Now, if you're like me, we've been a believer for so many years, we can rattle off some of these kind of things quite mechanically. Yeah, I just rattle it off as a matter of fact. This is what happened. I wanted to return to a sense of awe over these truths. And then I was reminded, as I wanted to return to a sense of awe, I was reminded of, during Jesus' day, in the Greek and Roman culture, the gods that they worshipped, the deities that they worshipped, demanded sacrifices from the people. They had to be appeased. You have to almost bribe their deities in order for them to do something for you. They demanded things from people. And this whole idea, against that backdrop, this whole idea of a God dwelling in a high and holy place, emptying himself, coming to pay the price for sin, for us, for people who are helpless, for people who don't deserve it. This idea is so unthinkable, completely unthinkable in those days. And I wonder if you see it's also unthinkable in our day as well. In our day, when the rich use their wealth to increase their wealth at the expense of other people. When the powerful use their power to increase their power, increase their standing at the expense of the powerless. This is a day where all those things happen. And maybe for time immemorial, that's how it's been. The people with power lord it over the weak. And this whole idea of acting in self-sacrifice, acting in love, when one is powerful, doing so for the powerless, just wasn't a thing in Jesus' day when all these things happened. And probably isn't a thing today as well. Left to us, you and I, we have no grit for this. It just sounds completely radical, outlandish, unthinkable. Jesus willing to die for us. Not just for the perfect, not just for the upright. I mean, who is, right? But he gave himself for us all when we were helpless in our sins, trapped like hostages, unable to save ourselves. So today, we proclaim, what love is this? And friends, I call you back to the same sense of awe, the same sense of holy awe and holy wonder over a God who would do this for you and I. What is one instance, my friends, in your life when someone showed you love, really showed you love? I don't necessarily mean the romantic kind, or when you're falling in love. Not necessarily, but really receiving sacrificial love. Someone going out of his way, out of a way to do something for you. Someone giving up something really important to that person for your sake. Making a huge sacrifice because of you and for you. When they totally didn't have to do that at all. Not that they were trying to get something out of you, but just because they loved you. That person loved you. What is one instance that has happened for you? On Good Friday and Easter, we commemorate how Jesus gave himself for you and I willingly, even when he didn't have to. When we were helpless in our sins, not deserving of his love at all, he demonstrated sacrificial love for us. What love is this?
Upon your hands and hold the truth.
Lord, take some time to call us to a response and invite us to bow our heads, close our eyes in prayer as we ponder about this great love that was shown for us. What love is this? Take a few moments. Respond to the Lord. Let it be, O Lord, today, once again, we exclaim in our hearts, what love is this? Poured out freely for us, inviting us to you. Inviting us to the one, the only one who didn't have to die, had no personal sin to die for, gave himself up for us all. Inviting us to the one who took on our sins, bearing them on yourself. So Lord, we come to you. So Lord, we respond to you. We come to you with gratitude. We come to you with holy awe. Call us back to the holy awe, holy wonder, such that we respond recognizing Jesus, honoring Jesus, honoring you as the one who died in our place, paid the price for our sins. Bridge the unbridgeable gulf between us and God, inviting us to call upon you as our Lord and Savior. Friends, as our heads remain bowed, as we... There may be some of us who have not prayed a prayer like this. We have never responded to the invitation of God to come to Him, to call out to Him as our Lord and Savior. Today we sense God is drawing you. God is calling out to you. God is inviting you, not just a message of humanity, but you, calling out to you to come to Him. We recognize that God is at work in our hearts and we want to respond to His invitation. I'm going to pray this prayer, similar to the prayer that I prayed earlier. And if it's you, wanting to respond to this invitation for the first time, calling upon Him as Lord and Savior, I want you to say this after me. Come to Jesus, saying this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, today is the day I call to you. Today is the day I acknowledge you as the one who paid the debt for all my wrongdoings. Today I receive your great love for me. Today I turn away from my sins and my past. Today I receive forgiveness of sins. I respond to your invitation to enter into being right before you. Today, I receive your invitation to enter into friendship with you and walk in newness of life. Today, I respond to your invitation. Come into my heart. Be Lord and Savior over me, I pray. There might be some of us who have prayed this for the first time today, inviting the Lord into our hearts for the first time today. If that's you, I want to pray for you. If that's you, I want to invite you to just raise up your hand and keep it up there. I want to pray for you. Any one of us here, we've come here not as a Christian, not as a believer, but today we want to make this decision to respond to God who is calling out to you, inviting you. Just lift up your hand up high. I want to pray for you. Any one of us. Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Yes. Anyone? Yes. Yes, brother. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? He's calling out to you. He's inviting you. Respond to him. Yes, I see your hand back there. Yes. He's calling out to you. Hear him. Respond to him. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone else? Going to pray for us in a few moments. For those of us who raise your hand saying, this is the day I come to you as my Lord and Savior, join me in prayer. Lord, we acknowledge that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, that old things pass away and new things come. Let it be, O Father, for these individuals who have raised their hands to now acknowledge you, to receive you, to respond to your invitation. Let it be, O Lord. New things come. Old things pass away. Be made a new creation today. That when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, let it be, O Father, that God, as you breathe on so many of us here, eternal life, life abundant in you. God, let it be that this happens to those of us who raise our hands as well today, that today they receive. Today is to begin this life of walking in your abundance today. Draw them to you, Lord, and change them as you change so many of us. Change our lives, transform us, we pray, as we thank you. And now for the rest of us who are already believers, today the call to you is to walk in that sense of holy wonder, walk in that sense of awe over such great love that is shown to you and I when we don't deserve it. I believe God loves each one of us as if there's just only one of us to love. Let's receive that love today. Lord, here we are, Lord, standing in the shadow of the cross today. Here we are, Lord, to acknowledge you. Here we are, Lord, standing as recipients of grace, recipients of your unmerited favor upon us. So undeserving, but so lavish, so abundant. We give you thanks for that. So today, let your love wash over us. Wash over us all over again, that we too continue to walk in newness of life as we continue in holy awe over a God who empty yourself. Come for us, love us, give sacrificially to us. We bless you, we praise you, we worship you. In the name of Jesus, we all pray and everybody says, amen. Amen. Amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.